It could be argued that West Virginia has never been owned by her inhabitants. Before European settlement, of course, ideas of land ownership were not really in vogue. Then King Charles II rewarded many loyal friends with large swaths of land, and by the 1730s, 800,000 acres in what would become West Virginia was owned by three land companies. For the most part, the same trend continues now, 300 years later. But who exactly owns what and to what extent? That's the question Ted Bettner, executive director of the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, decided to pursue.
What we tried to see is how has this changed over the last couple of decades, and what's different, and what can we learn from it, and how can we use this information to go forward? It's hard to think about economic diversity if we don't know who owns a big portion of the private land in the state, because it's very difficult to move forward, especially the southern coal fields, which see very high concentrations of land ownership, if we can't, you know, have a say in what the development's going to be because we don't own the land. It's going to be very difficult to do much about anything.
Who Owns West Virginia is the name of the report from the nonprofit think tank. It's the first major investigation into land ownership since a couple reports in the 1970s definitively tackled the issue, identifying the major absentee corporations that held titles to huge swaths of land, especially in southern West Virginia.
For most of the 20th century, the state's land ownership was controlled by coal, oil, and gas companies, and by large land-owning companies that leased land and minerals to energy companies. And, you know, over the last several decades, land ownership concentration has transitioned from energy companies, like Consolidated Coal Company, to timber management companies whose major business interest is to manage money for investors.
There are several of these Timberland Investment Management Organizations, or TIMOs, in the top 10 landowners in the state. Bettner explains that TIMOs are a relatively new corporate invention, forged when economic factors converged with changes in the natural resource sector in the 1980s. Today, TIMOs manage industrial timber investments and or institutional investment clients, such as pension funds or endowments of foundations or universities. He says there's been a major shift away from lateral business models toward these sort of financial holding companies.
It used to be like if you own the property, you also own the pulp mill that was on the property, perhaps, or the wood that was there. It was also used to produce a product. That's just not the case anymore. You don't see that type of integration in the organization anymore. You see outside interests and financial interests owning a portion of that company and not owning the whole process. So
Bentner's report also highlights the regional differences in concentrated land ownership, some of which has changed over the past 30 years. But ultimately, we still see more of this concentrated land ownership in the southern counties, where the highest poverty levels in the state happen to exist, along with all the health disparities and daunting economic challenges that come with them.
We have just scratched the surface on understanding the ownership, not only of the surface, but also of the minerals and how many companies are leasing a lot of property and how we're benefiting.
Bettner says larger questions remain to be answered, questions related to taxation of absentee landowners and whether or not they pay their fair share. He says more research and more transparency is needed so policymakers can do the important work of planning for the future. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.